Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody, and I want to welcome you to another edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show here on this Monday, September 17th of 2018. It's hard to believe it's already the 18th of September, but it is. And just a few short days, the fall equinox will be here. And so it is September 17th, and it's a beautiful day here in Michigan, albeit a little unseasonably warm, as it is 2 weeks after Labor Day, but the thermometer wouldn't notice that because it is almost 90 degrees outside. It is almost 90. Usually, we are done with 90s type stuff, temperatures in generally late August or so, give or take. Go ahead and throw this away. But I am here at McDonald's as I usually am for this show. I'm kind of slacking on the Mac Mondays lately. Last week I didn't do it. The week before I couldn't do it. It was Labor Day and I had other stuff going on, so I did it the day after. Today, I did do Mac Monday, and to eat, I had a McChicken, which is a crispy chicken filet on a bun, on a warm bun, with lettuce and mayo. As a, different from the Chick-fil-A sandwich, which is a nice big piece of crispy chicken on a warm bun with your choice of sauce and a pickle. But you can get a McChicken at any participating McDonald's for the low price of $1 plus tax. I also added a large order of America's favorite fries. And then, of course, for my hydration during the show, I have with me Coca-Cola. And I love to do this. You know, many preachers or other speakers, you know, that are speaking on a microphone or doing a show or something like that, they'll have a nice cold glass of water sitting next to them, you know, in the pulpit or near the mic or whatever when they're speaking. In a twist, I have a nice cold Coke. And what I'll do is I'll take sips from it here and there throughout the show when either my mouth is dry or when I'm just going to talk about Coke and do a little spot for it on the show. Because, let's face it, on a real show, on a on a non-digital radio show. There will be ads. Well, and I'll go to commercial breaks and that, and top of the hour news and everything else. Because this is online, what I do is here and there I might do a little spot ad for something. Like promoting maybe a donut shop or another local business or maybe a place that you can check out in your travels, like if they take you somewhere. For example, I'm going to be going to Georgia for a few days here in about 2.5 weeks. And I'll be there for about 3-4 days. It's a nice trip to Atlanta. And see what's all going down there. Last time I was in Atlanta was 4 years ago, and it truly is, in my opinion, a very beautiful city. It's a nice area. It has its traffic, and when you got a city and metro area like that, that a lot of people have to pass through, like if they're going to Florida, that's just what you get. But Atlanta really is a nice area. I love it. This will be my third time going there. And I'll say, while you're there, why not go take a look at the World of Coke Museum? You can take a tour of it. It's really informative. I love it. I did it both of the last two times, the only two times actually that I was down in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's pretty cool. At the end, you get to taste a lot of different Cokes from around the world. So that makes it pretty fun. Also other tour type things you can do is CNN Center. While CNN may be, no, I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but it's really nice. I got to do the CNN tour once, and it was amazing. And then you got the Zoo Atlanta, which is a very nice zoo. You have Georgia Aquarium, one of the biggest aquariums anywhere that I know of. Which is pretty fun. Yeah, there's a lot of things to do. There's a nice big mall that I really enjoy. Even though I've only been there once, I really enjoyed it when I went there. Right in the city of Atlanta. It's called Lenox Square. And as you may have just heard me say, one of the things I love about that mall so much is that it is actually in the city of Atlanta. Most of the cities up here, when you've got an enclosed mall, the big mall is usually outside of the city. It's usually out in a suburb somewhere up here in this part of the country. Like City of Detroit doesn't have a mall in the city proper. Cincinnati, well, that's a city. It has a City of Cincinnati address, zip code, but really that's in a little township thing called Kenwood. Cleveland, that's a smaller one. New York doesn't. There might be a couple, but there's none in like Manhattan. Atlanta, though, has a big one. The Atlantic Square is actually in Buckhead, one of the nicer parts of Atlanta, a couple miles north of downtown Atlanta. And the time I went there, it was really nice, and I really enjoyed it. Dallas and Houston are some other cities that actually have it, where some of the really nice malls are actually inside the city. Dallas Galleria and Dallas North Park Center, in the case of Dallas, and then in San Antonio, I mean Houston, you have Memorial City, as well as the Galleria, which is a little bit more east or inbound towards downtown. I've been to both of the two Houston malls that I referred to. Gives it more of an identity when it's actually in that big city. Don't you think, Jenny? I think it does.
Yeah.
That's part of why I like going to these southern cities. Plus, a lot of these down south cities, they have more options, like where you might actually see a diner real close to downtown, as opposed to some other cities where everything downtown is all chains or really upscale and expensive. Not necessarily the case in a lot of these southern cities. That's why I like cities like Chattanooga, Atlanta, Birmingham, Alabama, that I've been to before, among others. Plus, let's face it, I do have kind of a southern heart. I love the southern drawl. I really do. I'd be lying if I... Let me think here. If I said I didn't like the southern drawl, I'd be lying. And when you end up lying and you get... Whether you get caught or not, you might be crying. Might come up with a song for that someday, but folks, I'm gonna work on that. That brings to mind a song that me and Preacher Man tried to work on last year about biscuits and gravy that we were gonna try to make up. I don't know what happened to that. Sometime in the next couple weeks, the next few weeks, maybe when I'm down south, I might come up with it, you know, while I'm eating it or something, maybe. I'm going to put thoughts into it because, let's face it, biscuits and gravy is one of my favorite southern dishes of all times. Period. No questions asked. Really is. But so is some other things like, you know, like the fried chicken and mashed potatoes. Or baked beans. Or even Champions fried chicken is amazing. One of the best southern fried chicken places you'll ever find. Available in Chattanooga, Tennessee, along with some other fine cities in the south. I'll look for their website and that, and I'll let you know soon what it is and where you can find it. I know they got one in Chattanooga downtown. They got another one in Chattanooga near I-75, north of Hamilton Place. And then they got one, I believe it's something near like Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And then I believe there's a couple in like Alabama, Mississippi. But great food. It's amazing. I heard something about a fried chicken place in Georgia called Gus's Fried Chicken. But then I found out they had one in, like, NYC and other places. Jenny, do you happen to know about a place called Gus's Fried Chicken? I'm going to look at that because I got to see, is it Southern grown, truly Southern grown, you know, from down there? Or did it actually start in NYC and go to Atlanta because it's a big market? I hope it's actually from down there and worked its way up north, because I tell you, when I go down south and part of what I want is that food, I want the real deal, folks. That's what I want. It's like with the Word of God. I don't want to preach some watered-down message, nor do I want to hear a watered-down message. I want to hear the real deal. And that's kind of how I live my life. Right down to the food on that plate at the down there in the when I go down south. And I always think it's cool when you see a place called like Mrs. B's or Mrs. whatever or whatever, you know, home cooking. That's a sign to me that you're going to get some good old food there. And we found a place like that in Alabama a couple of years ago right near our hotel. Me, my mom, and dad. And it was good stuff. But I am here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm across from a Kmart, northwest of an Admiral gas station, and southeast of a Disability Network of Michigan office. And I'm kind of near the front door. So if you're in the area and you're listening to the show, like on your phone or something, by all means, come in and say hi to me. I'll gladly talk to you. Because I love you, those of you who would choose to listen to this program. Now, about the Ministry of Helps Conference. Folks, I want to start off by saying thank you, folks, for being understanding with me. I mean, of me, about the conference, being flexible, choosing to listen to the show anyways, even though we did it earlier than what we normally would. In the case of Wednesday night, it was 2 full hours earlier than normal. But for this week, folks, we're back to normal. Because we had a disruption 2 weeks ago, you know, with Labor Day and that. And then we had last week. But this week, we're back to normal. So everything's just going to go as we normally would. Before I give you a little summary of the conference, I will first let you know what the plan is for this evening. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 18. And then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And then we're going to exhort for a few minutes. After that, we're going to do real quick Tigers update. And then Football Central at 7:25, as always. And I have football to get to today. I got some surprises, too. There were some games that I didn't even pick, and I was shocked by the outcome. And I'm going to delve into that a bit tonight, as well as the games I picked, including the ones I picked by default, always picked by default. That includes Midland High Schools. The Midland High Schools, Michigan, and Lions. No Spartans, though, because Spartans had the weekend off. But that's the plan for tonight. So, Joshua 18, Hebrews 11, verse 2, verses 12, exhortation. And then Tigers, and then Football Central. All right. It was a great conference with a lot of great speakers. I was only there at night, though, but my understanding was that the morning services were amazing as well. I really enjoyed Jerry Savelle. He spoke about having a servant's heart, and that when we go to church and when we go to be an usher, be a deacon, be a children's worker, be an elder, be a security person, be a greeter at the door, that whatever you're doing, you're not doing it just to work for a department. You're doing it so folks if you're not in a church, you need to get in one right now as soon as you can. And if you're in a good spirit-filled church, but you're not doing anything, you're not greeting, you're not hosting, you're not a children's church worker, so get involved in your church. Please, get involved. Even if the first thing you do is a work party, do it. Because the Ministry of Helps, it's about teamwork. Teamwork. You know, like how football is supposed to be, how basketball is supposed to be. Sports. You know, generally with good teams, you know, they practice teamwork. And everybody does their part. You know, sometimes with football. A drive with great teamwork would be sometimes you're running the ball, sometimes you're throwing the ball. You know, and sometimes maybe different kinds of plays. And if you're throwing, passing the ball, one receiver might catch one ball, move the ball down the field, get a first down. And then one or two plays later, you might have another wide receiver, quarterback throws, and then we find the receiver, hopefully it gets caught. And then they go from there. That's the idea of teamwork. And it takes a team to pull off a service. It really does. So you got to have the worship team. You got to have, if you do TV and online stuff, you got to have a media team. You got to have door greeters. You know, parking lot security, children's church workers, the teachers as well as the helpers. And within those departments, everyone works as a team. So that means you shouldn't necessarily be hogging all the work for yourself. It should be a team effort. And not supposed to want to be served. Your heart should be, Pastor, not what can you do for me, but what can I do for you, Pastor, to help you with reach people. So what can I do for God? Not just Pastor, what can you do for me? I need this, pray for me. No. So I decided that each night this week I'm going to give a nugget based on the Ministry of Helps conference. And tonight's nugget is, please have a servant's heart. With that, I'm going to do a brief how to listen to the show. The reason I do this, listeners, is so that you can tell other people how to be a part. What you do is you go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar once you type that in. In the search bar, you'll want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay? After you've typed that in, you will see a link. I want you to click on that link, please. This link says Live and Lodge. After you click on that, you'll see something that says The Preacher and the Miracle Man. And that's me. That's the show. And get on that, and then please hit that follow button, as you'll get notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night and Wednesday night, we'll do our shows. And yes, the website is very compatible with all devices, even though there's not an app on the iPhone App Store, or I don't think there's one on the Android market either. I don't have a Android, I just have the iPhone, because I don't believe in droids. No, I don't believe in droids. I think Jesus had an iPhone. Actually, back when Jesus walked on the earth, they didn't have any kind of smartphone or smartphone to begin with. So, anyhow, it's a smart thing to follow and listen to this program on your smartphone. So we really want you to be a part of the show. That's a great way to do it. Amen. Now, we have a telephone number that you can call in, and you can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not politics. You want to call in and talk to me about politics, I'm going to tell you to pray over your leaders that have authority over you, as well as to vote. Vote. The election's coming up in about a month and a half, and if I were you, I'd be out there voting. I'm going to vote. So, vote. The telephone number that you can call in, we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. You can talk about faith. You can give your testimony. We can pray if you need prayer for something. Whatever you want, we can do. The telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Please listen for the prompts, and then when you hear the prompt that says press 1, press 1, and you'll be taken through the call screener. And then my helper, my assistant over here, her name is Jenny. I like to call her Donut because she loves donuts just like I do. She'll pick it up and she'll let me know we got a caller, and then I'm going to let you on the air, and I'll say, what say you? What do you have to say? And I'm going to give you the floor, and we'll go from there. All right. We're going to pray real quick, then we're going to get into the word of the Lord for a few minutes. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for the show. Thank you for these people who have decided to listen this evening. I thank you that they would be blessed and receive what you have for them. They would have a heart to receive, and they would have a mind that is alert. I thank you that you would use me tonight as an oracle, and I would say what you would have me say. I hereby confess over the show that finances come to the show, new equipment comes to the show, finances, new equipment, sponsors and partners come to the show, want to help out, and audiences come to the show. Great increases in audience. But you want to know what we care about the most? Souls. Souls coming to the show in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everybody said, amen. All right. We got to get going. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 18. All right, Joshua 18. And we are looking at Joshua and the children of Israel. All right. For the sake of time, I'm just going to begin reading from verse 1 right now. You begin, I will begin, you catch up. The whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The country was brought under their control, but there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. Verse 3. So Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? 3 men from each tribe. I will send them out to make a survey of the land and to write a description of it according to the inheritance of each. Then they will return to me. You are to divide the land into 7 parts. Judah is to remain in its territory on the 7th, and the house of Joseph in its territory on the north. Excuse me, on the south and the north. After you have written descriptions for the 7 parts of the land, bring them here to me, and I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord our God. The Levites, however, do not get a portion among you. because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it to them. As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, "Go and make a survey of the land and write a description of it. Then return to me, and I will cast the lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord." So the men left, and they went through the land. They wrote its description on a scroll, town by town, in seven parts, and returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. Joshua then cast lots for them in Shiloh in the presence of the Lord. And there he distributed the land to the Israelites according to their tribal divisions. Verse 11. The lot came up for the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan. Their allotted territory lay between the tribes of Judah and Joseph. On the north side of the boundary began at the Jordan, past the northern slope of Jericho, and headed west into the hill country, coming out at the desert of Beth Aven. From there, it crossed to the south slope of Luz, that is Bethel, and it went down to Asath Ador on the hill south of Lower Beth Horon. From the hill facing Beth Horon on the south, the boundary turned south along the western side and came out at Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, a town of the people of Judah. This was the western side. The southern side began at the outskirts of Kiriath Jearim on the west, and the boundary came out at the spring of the waters of Naphtali. The boundary went down to the foot of the hill facing the valley of Ben Haran, north of the valley of Ephraim. It continued down the Hinnom Valley along the southern slope of the Jebusite city, and so to En Rogel. It then curved north, went to En Shemon. It continued to Gedeon, which faces the pass of Adumim, and it ran down to the stone of Bohan, son of Reuben. And it continued to the northern slope of Beth Araba and on down into the Arabia. It then went to the northern slope of Beth Hogla, and it came out at the northern bay of the Salt Sea at the mouth of the Jordan in the south. And this was the southern boundary. The Jordan formed the boundary on the eastern side. There were not boundaries that marked out the inheritance of the clans of Benjamin on all sides. The tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, have the following cities: Jericho, Beth Hogla, Anach, Beth Araba, Nuzin, Bethel, Arim, Fera, Okasta, Kerdia, Amino, Ophani, and Heba. It had 12 towns and their villages: Gibeon, Amma, Beeroth, Zerki, Zipta, Manoah, Umia, Ephraim, along the clans. And I'm going to quit right there. All right. We're going to look at let's see here. I'm going to find that what talks about faith without works. I'm going to read some verses and talk a few minutes. Couple minutes about loving each other. Just had this on my heart. Keep on loving each other. We're going to go to Hebrews 13. We're going to begin with verse 1. And we're going to go just follow me along. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers. And by the doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed should be kept pure, for God will judge the adultery and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace and not by ceremonial foods which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. I'm going to cut it off right there. You know, God tells us we're to love one another. We're to love each other as if they were our brother. I will add, unconditionally. You know what that means? It means you don't hold grudges against that person. It means you still, we should still love people in the love of the Lord, even if we don't like these certain people. We don't have to like everybody. Find me a human that likes everybody on the face of this earth. Do you know of anyone? Is there any who likes everyone on the face of this earth?
No.
Did you hear that? I just got told no. I don't think there is anybody that just likes everybody. Because here's something you need to realize. When you love somebody, that means you care about them and you really, truly love them, whether you like them and they like you or not. But you should still love them. And we should still tell people about Jesus and minister to them, whether we like them or not. They might be cursing at us. They might be screaming at us. They might be, but, you know, part of loving people is ministering to people. And folks, this is the last days. This is like we're in the fourth quarter and there's like only a couple minutes left. The ball game's just about over. So we got to minister to everyone that we can minister to. And we need to do it with love. Don't just, you're going to hell. Well, what you got to do is you got to talk to them and ask them, you know, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? They say no, then, you know, you're it. Do you realize that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go to heaven? And then, hopefully that'll convince them, because most people, I don't think, want to go to hell. I think they want to go to heaven. But they have to be willing to give up their wickedness and their evil. Loving people isn't just always lovey-dovey-dovey, huggy-huggy-huggy. No. That's telling the truth. You got to tell them. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, you will not make heaven. That's the way it is. I just want you to take this challenge to heart. All right. I'm going to pray for this word and then I'm going to shift gears. And we're going to go this way. Lord Jesus, I pray right now over anyone who is listening to the show who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that they would ask you into their heart right now. And I pray that they would call me. They'd call the show and let me know. I gave my life to Jesus. What do I do now? You know, Lord, that someone calls in to the show, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to help them. I thank you, Jesus, right now, that you would help us all to truly love people, whether we like them or not, whether we like the sin they're doing or not. We want to win souls for you, which we should be doing. We can't be afraid of what other people are saying about us. We can't. We got to be bold. We can't be scared. And I thank you that we're going to win souls for you as Lord has, and I thank you that we will for your kingdom and that we will bring people to heaven with us. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we will do this word and not just be hearers and readers only. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Now tomorrow night, I am still going to read the Word of God. I am still going to exhort. But for Testimony Tuesday, and I'm sure, I've gotten some new listeners in the last few months, and it's been a long time since I took time to tell my testimony. How did I get here? What did I go through? Why am I the miracle man? And so I figured tomorrow night would be a perfect opportunity to take some time to talk about my testimony and what I've been able to do. And why I have to do that. So, yes, we're going to read the Word of God, but as far as the testimonies, the miracles will be, what did Jesus do for Miracle Man? That or Miracle Man, we're going to say Miracle Man's testimony. And that's what I'm going to share with you folks tomorrow night. Because I was thinking about that earlier today. I was thinking, well, what am I going to do tomorrow night? Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do. And it'll be a blast. I'm looking forward to doing it. Because I'm glad that God kept me alive. I'm so glad that means I get to share my testimony. So that's what I'm going to do tomorrow night. All right. Now. Dun, 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 dun. Yes, it'll be time for Football Central in just a couple minutes, but first, we got to talk a little bit of Detroit Tigers. So Friday, the Tigers went to Cleveland to play the Indians, and they had a loss. 3-1. But then Saturday, they got outscored 15-0. 15-0. That was it. That's just a huge loss. They just got silenced. They got shut out way too many times this year. And then yesterday, they won 6-4. What do I think right now about the Tigers? Well, I think what needs to happen is that I'd like to see us get some better hitters next year. And, yes, we can use some better pitching and better bullpen guys, but we need to get our power back up. We must increase our offensive power output and get a good ace. I get it. Verlander was super expensive for us, but still. She just left such huge shoes to fill. And so, hopefully, I'm sure Cabrera should be back next year for us, and hopefully he can stay healthy, and he can get crisp. So, and maybe have a nice good year and get a good amount of RBIs and some home runs. And it can't be all Cabrera, though. I'd like to see us have some other guys like James McCann, among others, step up. I'd like to see Zimmerman stepping up on the other pitchers we have, so that we can be a better team next year, so that we can make some noise in our division instead of being a sleeper. All right. It is time for Football Central. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Central, Monday night edition, on Monday, September 17th, and I'm your host, Miracle Man, coming to you live from the McDonald's Sports, coming to you live from McDonald's on Saginaw Road, Midland, Michigan, and we have fun for these next 30 minutes each and every Monday and Wednesday night through the football season. What I do in Football Central is I take time to talk about games that I pick on Wednesday. That's what Monday's made up of, going through games I picked on Wednesday. Kind of a takeaway or two. What I like. Yeah. And I'll let you know for the games I picked, whether I got it right or wrong. And then, of course, I say how well I did overall for the weekend. And I start with high school generally, then college, then pro. And then that's the case with tonight. I have some surprises to tell you about. some surprise games. And it's going to conclude with, I'm going to call it my golden opinion on something that has happened 2 weeks in a row on the NFL, in the NFL, and what needs to be done about it. So, let's get this train rolling. First off, we go to Midland Community Stadium, where Dow High took on the Bobcats of Bay City John Glenn at Midland Community Stadium. And at first, John Glenn goes up 7-3, but then from there, it's all Dow, as Dow wins at big time, 52-13. Big nights from and through the air and on the ground by Dow's quarterback, Shane Estrike, and Dow's running back, Nick Soroki. I mean, Soroki's a receiver, so he threw a lot of passes, did a strike to Soroki. And he is doing a lot better now, keeping his interceptions down after throwing 5 in Dow's first game and throwing a couple more in their second game. A lot of the really, really, really good quarterbacks will have 7 interceptions or less through the first 8 weeks of the season. Estrike's already thrown 7 to date. The team, Dow's coach, Jason Watkins, on the One Daily News, he says that now we are starting to click, but I am for sure that we can still see, we can still improve. I would agree with that sentiment because this coming Friday, Dow High takes on Saginaw Heritage at Midland Community Stadium on what I believe is homecoming game night for Dow High. It's either this coming Friday or on Friday, October 5th. I'll let you know for sure tomorrow or Wednesday as to when Dow's homecoming is, but I will probably be at that game. No, I didn't go to Dow High, so it has nothing to do with their homecoming. Seems to me to be a tense matchup. Dow versus Heritage. Which leads me over to Saginaw Heritage, where Midland, the Comets, want to take on the Hawks on Friday night. For the first 3 quarters, it was a good defensive battle. Actually, it was a defensive battle all game long. But for the first 2.5 quarters, when it comes to offense, it was all Heritage, as Heritage was up 7-0 after they scored in, like, the first quarter. Heritage did. Third quarter, one comes out, gets their first touchdown, 7-6. With extra point blocked. Early fourth quarter, one comes up again, goes down the field, gets a touchdown. This time, the quarterback decides to go for a 2-point conversion. It's good. And Midland leads 14-6. Then, Heritage decides to get back in it, and they go down the field for a drive, get a big touchdown, Extra point good, 14-13. Heritage tries to, you know, move the ball later, but is unsuccessful in getting really far as time runs out on them. I mean, there's a fumble, and Midland recovers the ball and is able to take the knee, get in victory formation, and call it a game as Midland wins 14-13 in a gutsy defensive battle. Great job, Cummings, because Midland needed this win. Both teams, Midland and Dow, are 2-2. As far as playoff point standings, which is a key factor in determining whether you'd be at home or on the road if you make the playoffs, when varied based on your other opponents, you know. Midland has 5 more playoff points than what Dow does. Midland is like 44.5. Dow is like 39.5. Last week when I looked, Dow had like 1 more playoff point than Midland did. But I think that's attributed to Midland beating Heritage. What's going to happen when Dow beats Heritage? And Dow Heritage does look to be a game that I will probably be at. See what happens. Let's talk some college football. Michigan in a big win over Southern Methodist University, 41-13. Wow. Big day for Shea Patterson. But at times, Michigan had penalty troubles, among other things. He had a guy that was just being a running back, you know. Somehow, forget what happened with his helmet, but he got a targeting call in the third quarter. And when you get a targeting call, you're disqualified for third quarter, fourth quarter, as well as first and second quarters of the next game. So Michigan will be without a key position player for the first 2 quarters of the Big Ten opener. It's sad. It was a kind of a controversial call. I get that. I'm all for making the game safer. I agree. But it was kind of controversial. They had some problems with injuries, too. You had a player on the ground with a heat cramp at one point, as it was rather hot in Ann Arbor, like 86, 87 degrees on Saturday in the heat of the day, as the game started about 3:30 and got down about 6:30, 6:45. And Michigan looked sharp. I think they're starting to click a bit, but they've got to reduce those penalties. Michigan has got to reduce the penalties. They have to. They really do have to. Reducing those penalties will be something they'll really have to do. They'll really have to get better at that getting into the Big Ten season now. All right. Big Ten standings. Who's number one in the Big Ten East? Right now it seems to be that Ohio State, Ohio State, is number one in the Big Ten East. Wisconsin is number one in the Big Ten West. What else happened in college football? Well, Number one, Alabama and Georgia and Clemson all won, and Auburn did. All, they all won big time. Said it last week, I'm going to say it again. I think the winner of the Auburn-Alabama game could very well be the national championship winner again. That happened once before, like, in the 2011 and the 10-11 season, where Auburn won the Iron Bowl. Alabama was down, I think, a tad bit. Auburn ended up getting the trophy. And I think the winner of this, I think it could come down to the winner of the Iron Bowl, which is on forget whether it's on the Saturday after Thanksgiving or the Saturday before. But and I also hope that it is at, if it's on the Saturday of a Michigan-Ohio State game, I hope it is after. If it's after, I can see myself being glued to that game and watching intensely to see what will happen. Because, let's face it, I'm a Southern guy too. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But three of the highest ranked teams in America. Actually, in my opinion, the Fab Four, Clemson, which is not an SEC school, Georgia is, Alabama is, and Auburn is. So four of the best teams in the country right now are from down south. Now, let's move over to the NFL. But first, we got to talk about predictions first. I said Midland would beat Heritage. They did, barely. I said Dow would beat Bay City Jung Wan. Big time, 52-13. Then I said Michigan would beat SMU. Ding, 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 ding. Go to NFL. First off, you think I'm going to talk about the Lions first, don't you? Nope. Panthers at Falcons. And the Falcons win 35-28 in a good game by both teams. I will say the Panthers aren't quite as crisp as they could be, especially after how they beat Dallas in week one. I could see them improving in some ways. Falcons, I think, are still a little bit of a work in progress, but they're getting better. As the NFC South is anybody's division this year, I think. I really think it is anybody's division, NFC South. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about the NFC South after we talk about the Lions, 49ers. And about the prediction, I did say the Falcons would win. Yes, they did. So far of the games I've talked about, I am 4-0. Now, Lions at 49ers. Oh, Matthew, Stafford. We got some talking to do. What happened in the fourth quarter when you have like a minute and some left, you had a third down and 2 yards. You went for, try to go for a certain receiver, and then it wasn't caught. And then they had to do a challenge to see whether or not it was complete or incomplete. And sure enough, according to the challenge, it was incomplete. So that makes it fourth down. It's fourth and two. You got a minute left to go in the ball game. Stafford's sets, looks, throws. Oh, and it's incomplete. And the Lions fall to the lowly San Francisco 49ers by a score of 30-27. After the Lions had been down 30-13. And they were making a mad rush at it in the fourth quarter to get back. Next up, though, the Lions have to play New England. And Bill Simonson, the huge show, he's thinking that Lions could start 0-5. Absolutely not what the Lions were hoping for with Matt Patricia being the coach. We'll have to see. You'll have to listen for my predictions and then follow this program as I keep you up to date. So we'll be in this together, watching, open, seeing what happens. On your home for Lions coverage, which is Football Central, here on the Miracle Man Show. Oh, Stafford. And they got Bob Quinn over from New England, too. But sometimes taking the defensive coordinator and making him the head coach, I thought it was going to be great. Sometimes it's not always the greatest idea. I'm not saying it isn't a good idea in this case, but Stafford's got to do better. Defense needs to do better. They gave up 27. The defense gave up 30 points yesterday. And 48 points week one. 78 points. The lowly Bills that were also 0-2 gave up the exact same amount of points. 78. Both are 0-2. Right. I said the Lions would lose that game. Yep, they lost it. Now, Patriots at Jaguars. So Tom Brady and the Patriots are going on to take on one of the best defenses in the NFL and a team in Jacksonville that is just on fire. And the Patriots, they fell behind in this game, but unlike last year in the AFC Championship game, the Patriots didn't catch up. They lost 31-20. I predicted that the Patriots would win this ball game, but I got it wrong. And when it comes to the Miracle Man prediction, pick six, that is the only game that I predict wrong. So I was 5 of 6. That includes 2 of 3 on NFL. So where am I now? in terms of NFL regular season, I am still 2-3, so still 40%, even though my high school is greatly improving over the weeks, as is college. We're trying to shoot for a perfect pro weekend this coming weekend. But I'm going to count it as a correct prediction. You know what? I don't predict the Lions will beat the Patriots, but if they do, I won't care about the pick because I'll be so happy that the Lions won that I'll just decide to let it go. But then hopefully I'll get whatever other game correct. And then college and high school. The picks is just a fun thing I like to do. But other NFL games. 2 weeks, two ties. Two tie games in the NFL. In week one, you had the Steelers play the Browns. And it ended in a tie game. So they had the 60 minutes. And then the overtime period of 15 minutes. After which, tie. So game over. Yesterday, the same thing happened with Green Bay, Minnesota. As the Vikings and the Packers play for 60 minutes. And at the end of regulation, it is 29-29. And they go into overtime. Nobody scores. The Vikes kicker goes for a 32-yard field goal at the end, near the end of overtime, and he misses it, and therefore it ends tied. What do I think the NFL needs to do? At the end of this season, you know, and at the rules meeting next year, where Roger Goodell and competition committee and everyone will get together, decide what they want to do different with the rules and stuff, they'll have their meeting and we'll say, how do you think it went this year? You know, we're like, okay, good. But what about those two ties? To that I would say, get rid of the ties. Michigan High School Athletic Association got rid of ties in football many, many, many years ago. NCAA got rid of ties back in the 90s, I believe. Would have been in the 90s because in 92 there was a tied Michigan-Ohio State football game. No more, because now they got it. So you get a possession. You score, the other team gets a chance. And if they don't score, you win. That's how I think it should work in the NFL. The ball be placed at your own 25-yard line or whatever, wherever you go, you know, where you end up getting the ball if it goes into the end zone for a touchback. So that's where it should start. Then you get as long as you need to keep the drive going. Obviously, the downs will be in effect, but if you got to punt it away, you don't score, then they get a chance. And then if no one scores then you'll, each team would go into possession too. And that's how they would determine, you know, how many overtimes and stuff. And you play until there's a winner. You're going to play until there's a winner. That's where I think they need to go with this. Because I didn't imagine that a Green Bay Minnesota game could end in a tie, even though I do think I did see it as a very important game to decide the NFC North. Now, there was a surprise. Tampa Bay going up to Philly and beating the Eagles. I didn't see that coming, but the Buccaneers quarterback has that team on fire. Their starting quarterback is out with on a four-game suspension for a domestic violence thing. But to be honest with you, I think their quarterback in Tampa Bay right now is doing a great job. I think this could possibly give the division to Tampa Bay. After all, the Saints did give up like 48 points in game one as they lost to Tampa Bay 48-43 in the Saints building, I will add. And then Tampa Bay just carried on yesterday. And the team that people were saying could be a sleeper in the Tampa Bay Bucks, I think could be a very big noisemaker. In addition, Jets versus Dolphins. The J-E-T-S, Jets, they played the Dolphins yesterday, and they did not win. The Dolphins beat them. And so that's what makes that Lions huge loss so disappointing. What's on for tonight, Monday Night Football? Seahawks Bears in Chicago. And I'm going to pick this just for fun, even though normally I only do six picks for the whole weekend, but this one I'm going to do it for fun because it is a compelling game, can be a decisive game for a wild card spot. Even though it is possible that you could have a scenario again this year where both teams that make wild cards are NFC South teams. And so you got the Seahawks, you got the Bears. Both teams lost last week in good, tough games. Bears have Khalil Mack. Seahawks, even though they're not quite what they used to be, are still tough in the trenches. But the Seahawks are on the road. I will say the Bears, 27, the Seahawks, 23. So 27-23 Bears over Seahawks. 8:20 p.m. start time. You can stream it on Yahoo Sports. And with that in mind, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you next time.